from Jay Gruden, former head coach in Washington, former offensive coordinator in a couple of places that I think are really discussion worthy. Let's dive into them. River Island's guest line, Jay Gruden, joins us on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Jay, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing fine. We're intrigued by what you had to say, especially as a long time.
It wasn't a knock on Kyle now. Well, it's not.
No one's calling it a knock, but I think that what you're saying here is very interesting to 49er fans who are very aware of the struggles of coming from behind in the fourth quarter. What do you see from the Niner passing game when they are down, when they are in known passing situations?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're not down very often, so they don't have to worry about it very often. You know, a lot of these teams right now that are in the lead, they call whatever they want, the bootlegs and the runs. Everything's working. But when people get down, and when everybody gets down in the NFL, it's very difficult to come back. It's not just Kyle. Every coach has a problem coming behind. We work together at Tampa, and I've known Kyle's offense for a long time, and I just, in my mind, I don't recognize some of the things that he does in known passing situations. They're different, and it's not to say that they're bad. They're just different to me and what I'm used to. That's all.
And I want to delve deeper because I don't think you're wrong, Jay, and I don't want you to feel threatened by this conversation because it's something that I've talked a lot about. And for me, it comes down to formation and personnel and maybe route concepts as well. When you look at this team, a team that doesn't do three wides very often, they almost never go four wide receivers. Is it personnel as much as it is scheme as to why they don't come back very often?
I think it's more route concepts. The route concepts I don't recognize a whole lot. And by me saying I don't recognize them doesn't mean they have a grasp of what they're trying to do. It's just different than what I'm used to. And the Andy Reid and the Sean Payton back when he had Drew Brees. And, I'm old school. I just don't recognize some of the way they're attacking defenses and all that stuff. But personnel-wise, I mean, you have to keep Kittle in the game. He's the best tight end in the business, in my opinion, as far as all-around tight end. And Debo and Ayuk's in the game, and I don't know if they have a third or fourth receiver or not, but they haven't had an opportunity to really have to come back a whole lot. When they have had that opportunity to try to come back, they're not very successful. That's all.
Jay Gruden joining us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, I know this is going to sound like a silly question, but for football fans who are listening, we understand what a route is, but when you say I don't recognize the route concepts, What specifically do you mean? What are you seeing?
Well, I'm an old man, and I'm an old school guy. I'm just talking about, a lot of concepts. You attack cover two, you attack cover one, you attack cover three different ways. If you get cover two, we're going this side. If you get cover three, you're going this side. If you get man-to-man, here's your man element and all that stuff. To me, it's just a lot of people running around in similar areas, and I just don't understand some of that. That's all. I mean, it's not that they don't have a rhyme or reason for what they're doing. I'm sure they do. It's just, to me, they're running in the same location a lot. If you freeze the film at the end of the play, you have three red jerseys in a similar spot. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But I just don't feel like they work the field, all the blades of grass, the right way, personally. You high-low the corner, you high-low the hook player, you high-low the weak side hook player, whatever you want to do. You work man-to-man against this technique. It's just different to me. That's all.
Is it a byproduct of being a run first coordinator, a run first coach, and a guy who maybe focuses more on pre-snap movement and formations and shifting?
I think that's part of it. I think a lot of people have gotten into this jet sweep motions and crazy motions instead of more so, getting people lined up and using personnel to have the defense show their hands, so you know if it's man or zone or cover three or cover two. But a lot of these motions can mess up the defense, but they can mess up quarterbacks as well because you don't know exactly how they're going to react to some of these motions. So I'm not saying I was a static guy, but I was more of a formation teller. So if I have tight end split out wide and the safety goes with my nose, man to man, stuff like that. But they have a rhyme or reason. They've been very successful offensively there. Nobody's arguing that. I'm just saying on the past known passing situations and come from behind situations, they haven't been as effective for whatever reason. And the concepts that I know that we learned back in the Tampa days, they're just different. And I'm sure he and Mr. Shanahan, they've come up with ways to try to attack defenses in different ways. I just don't recognize them very well.
Coach, you also sort of indicated that you think Brock Purdy doesn't get the credit he deserves for the way the offense works. I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit.
I think the offense, anytime you have an offense that is successful as San Fran's been, your quarterback has to play at a high level. The footwork, the timing, the anticipation, the accuracy has to be in tandem. And for it to be successful, that quarterback has to play, like I said, and be consistent. A lot of quarterbacks, they can throw a five-step glance route. They can throw a play action, but do it on a consistent level and put your team ahead of the sticks all the time. I think Brock makes good decisions more often than not, and that keeps his team with the ability not to have to play from behind, not to play on third down and long. And that's part of why Kyle's so successful, because his offense is predicated on first, second down. You look at New Orleans Saints right now and Clint Kubiak, their offense. Derek Carr has had maybe two third and tens, and the rest of them been third and twos, and they're second and five, they're first and ten, and they are crushing people right now. And that's kind of the similar formula that San Fran and Miami is using. But when they do get third and long, they struggle like everybody else, not just them, but like everybody else. But Brock is an efficient quarterback. He's accurate and very good player.
When you look at the upcoming game against the Rams, and McCaffrey's out, Debo's out, George Kittle missed practice today with a hamstring, he'll be questionable. How does Kyle Shanahan go about getting Brandon Ayuk open and scheming a system where the defense will be paying him a lot of attention, but how do you make it so you can get Brandon Ayuk involved in this pass game?
I'd be more concerned about George Kittle than anybody. I think George Kittle makes that offense what it is. He is the best blocking tight end and receiving tight end combination there is. And if you look around the league, not many teams have a blocking tight end like George Kittle that can go out and run pass routes and break tackles like he does. They're almost non-existent right now. I think he's the most valuable player on the team. Personally, I love Trent. I love Brock. I love Debo. But George Kittle is a monster. If he's not in there, I don't know what they're going to do. So you got to figure out ways to get another tight end in there and continue to hit people with Mason in the running game so your play actions are there on first and second down, and on third down, do the best you can and protect the quarterback and try to get through this game and try to win it probably by a field goal or whatever. But yeah, it's tough when you lose players. You know, I'm sitting here on a park bench right now talking to you guys because I lost my starting tight end, my starting two quarterbacks, my starting left tackle, my starting left guard, and three linebackers. So when you get injuries, man, it's hard to function, and they're gonna have to make do.
All right, so let's dive into that. You have a Rams team that's got no Puka Nacua and no Cooper Kupp. You got a Niners team that's got no Christian McCaffrey, no Debo Samuel, and now, as you're detailing, maybe no George Kittle. Which team is like a lesser version of itself?
Probably the Rams, just because they have offensive line injuries as well, and they have a very young defense. At least the 49ers have a very good defense, and I think when you have some injuries on offense, your defense has to carry the load, and they have to understand that. And Kyle, I'm sure, will understand that, and he'll take less risk on third and 10. If third and 10, maybe they'll run a screen pass to Mason or whatever and punt and back up the Rams and make them go the long field against a very good defense by the 49ers. So sometimes it's okay to win 17-13. We don't have to look at our rushing yards at 130 and our passing yards at 330. You know, the stats don't matter. We just got to get out of this game with a win. Punt when you have to punt. Don't turn the ball over. And make them go the long field, and I think they'll be fine.
Jay Gruden here on 95.7 The Game. I don't know if you heard the comments from this morning, but Mel Kiper Jr. came out and said the too high safety look is something that maybe should be banned because the vertical passing game has gone the way of the dodo bird. As few as an offensive mind is going up against a lot of too high safety. How do you beat that in the pass game, Coach?
It's been beaten for many, many years, and that's one of the most ignorant statements I've ever heard. Actually, I liked going against too high defense because I knew that I wasn't going to get blitzed, so we could protect our quarterback, and we could work the middle of the field. You could work the outside lane and cover two, and then the whole shot. You could work the weak side check down if the weak side hook player gets too deep. I mean, you can draw up clinic tapes on how to beat cover two. Cover two is not the issue. The issue is protecting the quarterback with the 4, 5, 6-man rushes. Maybe we should outlaw blitzes and just rush three guys all the time so the quarterback can stand back there all day. But I also said that you could play cover two with your corners. So your safety can come down and be the middle field reader, and your free safety can be the weak side flat player. I mean, you can dress up your cover. It doesn't have to be the safety. So there's teams are playing different versions of cover two now without the safety. So it'd be impossible to police. It makes no sense at all.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm telling you, most offensive coordinators that I know would rather go after cover two than actually after cover three fire zones and all these blips.
Love the answer. That was great.
Great answer.
Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We're talking with Jay Gruden here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, I want to like scratch into your sort of like offensive game plan mind here. If you were in a situation like the 49ers where there's a clear cut sort of number one option that's still out there in Brandon Ayuk and a bunch of the other top options are not available to you, as an offensive coordinator, are you going into a game like that thinking, all right, we got to almost force the ball to our guy? Or are you decoying him some and still trying to spread things around?
I wouldn't say decoy. I think every play concept has a number one, number two, number three, number four progression. I'm trying to get Brandon to be our number one progression. So if you're running a shallow cross, I want him to run a shallow cross. Now, there's other progressions that are going to be part of the play. If they take away that, then you can go to other progressions. That's fine. But I always want him to be my number one progression. Obviously, if we get the man-to-man, I want to make sure I alert Brock Purdy that if we get man-to-man, we're throwing to Ayuk on this play. That's the best way to do it, because coverages dictate where the ball goes, but within each play concept, you have your progressions, number one, two, and three. I just try to get Brandon in the number one spot. Certain play actions, you want him to be the one to get it, and then if he's covered, you go back to another guy or check it down to your back. So there are ways to get him the ball, but there's no guarantee. But coverages will dictate where the ball goes. But in man-to-man, we're going to tell Brock, hey, we're going to alert Brandon on this one.
You talked about the pass concepts from Kyle Shanahan, but what about the run concepts, and what does it say about the Shanahan run scheme that Jordan Mason becomes another undrafted guy who appears to be very effective in the Shanahan run scheme?
The best. And I said this, first, second down, Kyle's the best probably ever coach. And part of that is he's had some pretty good tight ends. And I think George Kittle, I made this mention a couple weeks ago, George Kittle, if you want to run the ball effectively in the NFL, you have to have a tight end. And if I was taking a tight end, George would be my number one guy. The way he blocks for the outside zones, the backside cutoffs, all the things, he is absolutely clinic perfect in the way he does everything. He's the best. And then you had Trent Williams, you had some good backs and a great run scheme. Chris Foerster, I don't think, gets any credit for some reason. He was my line coach for a year in Washington, and I was almost cried when we let him go. He's awesome with his run scheme, and Kyle does a great job. Mike Shanahan, they're great with the outside zones, the inside zones. They come up with unique ways to cut off the backside. They're the best in the business of what they do in that regard.
Jay, before you go, we got listeners here in the Bay who might have had to pull over, because this is a fun and admittedly dumb sports radio thing that we do all the time with the Niners, which is sort of like, of all the stars, who's the most important? Who do you not want to get hurt? And so the answers from Brock Purdy to Christian McCaffrey to Trent Williams come out a lot. Did you say it was George Kittle?
Well, Trent's very obviously your quarterback. I don't know who their backup is right now, but you never want your quarterback to get hurt because all the information goes through him, and he's got to handle the run game, snap count. Everything goes through the quarterback. So quarterback's always one. After that, I coach Trent. Trent's the greatest left tackle of all time. I don't give a damn what anybody says. However, if you want to run the ball effectively, you have to have George Kittle in your lineup. He is amazing to watch. He's fun to watch. And in the past game, he's good. He may not be the best tight end in the passing game in the NFL right now, but as far as a combination blocking, receiving tight end, George Kittle is the man. So it's a tough call for me. I'd go quarterback. I wouldn't want my quarterback ever to get hurt. Trent probably be 1A and Kittle be 1B. Debo might be 1C. They have some great players on that football team. But George Kittle, I think you want to run the ball first, second down, you got to have a tight end, and George would be my pick.
There it is. Hey, Jay, great stuff. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Okay.